Welcome back to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Stefano Gennarini, who is a director of the Center for Legal Studies at the Center for Family and Human Rights. He is a graduate of Notre Dame Law School, and we're going to talk about a battle, a recent battle, at the UN, and it's related to the subject of the family. And what is a family? And it seems as if President Obama and some of those in Europe, Western Europe, are trying to impose more liberal understandings of the family on third world countries that don't share those values. And so we're going to talk about that right now with, again, Stefano Gennarini. Stefano, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay, so go ahead and set up this scenario. What's going on at the UN recently? What's been going on at the UN?
So at the UN this week, in fact, we're waiting within hours for the final agreement.
Let me just timestamp this. This is being recorded on Friday afternoon, July 31st, in the year of our Lord, 2015. Go.
Hi. Right now the UN system is negotiating a new agreement for development for the next 15 years. It's a sort of a complete overhaul of the UN development system. And they've agreed to 17 goals and 169 targets that address everything from education, health, to climate change, to sustainability, to conservation, all sorts of issues. It's taking a new approach to development. Once upon a time, development was about helping poor countries develop. Now it's going to be about a universal push for what's called sustainable development, which means economic as well as social development, but is environmentally friendly. So this is the big push right now. And we work on life and family issues here, and our concern was, of course, to see the family reflected in the new development agenda, as it's being called. And unfortunately, the family has become a very contentious subject at the United Nations in recent years, especially with the advent of same-sex marriage. It used to be that the family was mentioned willingly by all countries in UN resolutions and without much thinking about it. And specifically, calling the family the natural and fundamental group unit of society, which is a term of art that is from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 16. Now, that term, that phrase of art, the natural and fundamental group unit of society, has become very controversial with the advent of the recognition of same-sex relations as capable of constituting a family, especially in the United States as well as European countries. So we know that the Obama administration has been striking it from resolutions, from negotiations in the past, and it seems that now they've been also successful in stopping countries from even proposing the language in documents, which is very sad.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too. This is a Christian radio station. We're coming at it from a Christian perspective. I understand your organization has a Judeo-Christian base as well. And what's interesting is that you see in the third world, there are active denominations, Christian denominations, where they're getting rebuked by their brethren and sistren from the West, who are, dropping biblical standards on homosexuality and so forth. And meanwhile, the people in the third world country, the Christian leaders, are saying, hey, this is wrong. We've got to stick with the Bible. It's a fascinating conflict. But the bottom line is, again, I agree with those people in the third world. We've got to stick with what the Bible says.
Well, of course, people in developing countries have a much more a traditional worldview, whether they're Christian or not. Many of them are Muslim, but even Buddhist and Hindus, they have a much more traditional worldview. And, they really don't concern themselves with so-called LGBT issues or, same-sex relations, as the idea of giving them legal recognition and the same benefits and rights as families. And But at the same time, the developing world here at the UN has much less of a say in what goes into UN policy than the countries that actually contribute the money to the policies and to the programs. So, you know, the United States and the European Union, which are largely now secularized countries, which have in many ways rejected their Christian heritage, have always been able to wield much more influence. So, you know, they effectively have a veto power on certain policies. Not on everything, but you know, in many ways they have this very, very, very strong influence. And with regards to the issue of the family specifically, you know, we see this all the time. You know, we see many countries, the African group, for example, which is the largest regional group at the United Nations, has proposed the family and a reference to the family with the language from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So the family is the natural and fundamental group unit of society. But it's been shot down by European countries, by the United States. And they really, and you know, what's really sad is that these powerful countries have been able to dissuade even countries that would normally support the African proposal from supporting them. They really don't like that definition of the family in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights because it clearly does not include recognition of same-sex relations as capable of constituting a family. So it's a very, very sad state of affairs here at the UN, where the family has become a really contentious subject because a few countries, and we have to recall and remember that it is really just a few countries, are now recognizing legally same-sex relations as families.
So the Barack Obama of 2008, who by some people's definition would be a bigot because he did not acknowledge marriage as being between anything but a man and a woman, but of course he quote-unquote evolved on that subject of 2012. But, you know, it seems almost like a bullying factor. It seems almost like the United States and some of these other nations are bullying the third world countries, browbeating them. And you must accept this new definition of family.
Well, you know, they really aren't able to actually impose any legal recognition, at least internationally, at the policy level or at the legal level, for same-sex relations, because it really is so taboo in most of the developing world. I mean, it really is unthinkable. It's unthinkable even in the foreseeable future that they would be able to do that. But they have at least been able to dissuade the more traditional countries from even putting forth proposals on these issues, from even making this proposal specifically of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, because they dislike it so much. And yes, I mean, in a sense, there is a bullying component. If you like, you know, they are the powerful countries, the United States, the European countries. They have more money. They contribute more money to the UN system. And so they feel that they should have more of a say.
All right. Well,
how the money is spent.
Okay. Let me ask you this. They're not saying that development or relief, let's say, you know, actually helping the poor and giving food and so forth, that's not contingent upon them changing what they understand a family is, right? They're not.
Well,
you're going to starve to death unless you agree with our liberal views, you know, on abortion and on homosexuality and so forth.
Well, we are getting dangerously close to that point. You know, David Cameron, for example, for the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, he actually threatened that to African countries. He said that the UK would withhold aid from countries that had.
So we'll let you starve to death unless you agree with our understanding about abortion.
And the Obama administration did the same in Uganda and Nigeria, threatening the withholding money flowing to health programs, for example. And I think they actually initiated withholding money from certain health programs within. But then the Ugandan Supreme Court struck down a law they had just passed, which had beefed up their sodomy laws.
So this isn't just a discussion over words and a dispute over linguistics. This boils down to people dying potentially if they don't accept that which everybody knows is wrong anyway, because they know it in our hearts because God has put it in our consciences.
You know, that's right. It's really holding the world, the poorest of the poor, hostage to this, LGBT agenda. It really is holding the world's poor hostage. And it's only going to get worse. You know, this new framework for development that's being negotiated. We know that certain donor countries, they want to turn it into a system where you sort of participate and there are incentives to participate and you sort of get policy packages for participating in this development system. And we know what that means. When you have a package of policies, it also includes all the things that these traditional countries have rejected so far: abortion, LGBT rights, etc.
Okay, we're talking right now with Stefano Generini, who is an attorney. He is the director of the Center for Legal Studies at CFAM, which stands for Center for Family and Human Rights. What's your website for more information if people want to follow through on this and just learn more? Are you there?
I'm there, yes.
Yeah. What is your website?
C-FAM.org.
C-FAM.org. Okay, we have just a couple minutes remaining. What do you want to say that you haven't said on this issue?
You know, we have such a huge struggle here at the United Nations. We are mismatched over 100 to 1 with organizations that are funded by European governments and the United States to promote abortion and LGBT rights. We need everyone to really be involved on these issues. And we also need to put pressure on our politicians to stop the United States from promoting a harmful agenda internationally. Everybody really needs to understand that this is really going to impact the poor and many governments around the world.
Mm-hmm. Recently, when President Obama went to Kenya, I understand, for example, that there was a display on behalf of abortion that was there in Kenya. Somebody put it up, but it was coming from Western money, and Kenyans themselves actually tore down that billboard. And that kind of gives you, it's like a microcosm of this kind of conflict.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, it's a conflict that in the end, you know, it's very easy to think that, you know, oh, well, these traditional countries are always going to reject these harmful agendas. But it's not, we can't always believe that. You know, look what happened in Ireland, you know, a country that was as traditional as you can think and now approved gay marriage. And, you know, the reason for that was because they came, you know, very powerful lobbyists came in there with sophisticated methods, with
millionaires.
Lots of money.
Yeah, millionaires.
You know, they outspent the pro-family side 50-1, and they went in there and they changed this country's laws. They changed this country's constitution. And, you know, they got out to vote people who would normally not vote, and all the people who would normally vote didn't vote. But, you know, there are ways in which money can influence the way countries, the direction that countries take. And so, you know, we really have to be careful what's happening. So what's happening now is that the United States is funding to the tune of billions of dollars groups that promote abortion, groups that promote LGBT rights. And this will have an impact on the way other countries develop.
As your own organization wrote in an email, it says, "Dear colleague, it's a travesty to see the kinds of pressure Barack Obama puts on poor countries to advance a radical agenda. Over the past 6 years, Obama has tried to force poor countries to reject family language that has been a part of international law since the Universal Declaration of Human Rights." The Universal Declaration and other documents refer to the family, but that's not good enough for Obama and his leftist friends in Europe. In fact, even as I understand it, the State Department now refers to mom as parental unit one and dad as parental unit two. When I first read that about 2 or 3 years ago on a Sunday morning at church, I said, well, I just want to be the first. It was on Mother's Day, in fact. I said, let me be the first to wish you all you mothers out there, happy parental unit one day. I mean, it was so absurd, but I mean, it's just, this is the kind of thing that we're dealing with. Okay, Stefano, you have a concluding thought on this whole issue?
You have a concluding question.
No, we basically, I think, covered it. I think it's, again, I will refer people then to your website, c-fam.org, for more information. Thank you so much for joining us, Stefano Generini of the Center for Family. Say it again. I don't have it right on my tip. Center for Family and Human Rights.
That's right. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.